This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Coming up on our program today, Friendly's is bankrupt. 60 restaurants across the nation, 30 of them here in Massachusetts, shut down. So what's happening to the family restaurant in America? That's today's talker.
Also, we'll have our weekend picks for art, music, and culture in and around Boston. But first today, imagine if your house could talk, or if your neighborhood streets and parks could talk. I mean, think about it. They could tell you so much about the past and about the way your city has changed over the years, about its history.
That's the idea behind a project called If This House Could Talk. It's part of History Day in the Cambridgeport neighborhood of Cambridge, and it invites residents to do a bit of research on their houses and then post homemade signs, sort of like museum plaques, in front of them, offering neighbors a brief glimpse into the past.
I'm Kathy Zusi. I'm the organizer of If This House Could Talk, and I'm a member of the Cambridgeport History Project, which organizes History Day.
I spent part of one morning this week walking around Cambridgeport with Kathy Zusi, who organized the first If This House Could Talk project in 2009. Back then, she said, there were about 70 signs telling stories about the past. This year, she says, there are more than 100.
We were trying to figure out how to bring neighborhood history alive. And I was a curator for 20 years and thought of turning the neighborhood into an exhibit.
So the houses tell the story of the neighborhood.
Yes. Yeah. And actually, the project has grown. It started out with If This House Could Talk. But it's turned into If This Street Could Talk, If This Building Could Talk, If This Store Could Talk, If This Diner Could Talk, If This Location Could Talk. So it's much broader than a house, just a house.
I'm Lori Sheffield, and I live in this neighborhood also.
And you're one of the houses.
And this house, I learned at the very beginning of this project from a neighbor that her grandmother had lived in this house as a young woman and that it was a boarding house. Now, we had always thought that there was something, that it probably was a multifamily dwelling from its very beginnings and built for single unrelated people, because each bedroom has a place where you would have an individual coal-burning stove. And so I imagine it having, you know, four different young people living together, kind of in an, like apartment dwellers do now, but perhaps in a more boarding house type of way. And then they went off to work. That's how I imagine it. And it's fun because in the bedroom still we have a couple of places where we can see where the coal stove's plugged in.
Nice to think about the house that you live in as telling you something about the history of the neighborhood you live in, right?
Yes.
And the city and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, we find the industrial history of the neighborhood quite fascinating. The area where we now see all these elegant biotech buildings was mostly occupied by, you know, fairly large factories. I mean, there was the Simplex wire-making factory. There was the Kennedy biscuit factory. There was the Necco candy factory. And that's just the beginning. And then there's a lot of other smaller industries. I mean, I can look across the street here and I know that parking lot could talk because that parking lot used to have a blacksmith shop.
Wow. Kathy, why is this important to understand this kind of history?
I think it makes people aware that change is the constant. Things are changing all the time. I think it makes people aware of the historic fabric of their neighborhood and what makes it distinctive, and maybe it'll encourage them to want to preserve the neighborhood or preserve what's distinctive about it. And it also, the project brings the neighborhood together. People start talking to each other as they're gathering the histories of their buildings and comparing notes. So I think it creates a sense of community and a sense of appreciation for what's around us.
So should we go on to these other houses?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So we walk on, and we meet Charles Sullivan, director of the Cambridge Historical Commission. Not surprisingly, he knows a lot about Cambridgeport, which he says used to be known for its soap factories, among other industries. And he says if these streets could talk, they would tell you that not long ago, urban planners tried their best to obliterate this neighborhood.
The real threat to the neighborhood was the Interbelt Highway. It's supposed to be an extension of the central artery in downtown Boston that would come through Somerville and this part of Cambridge, right down Brookline Street. Wow. Planned in the 1940s, not killed until the 1970s.
And so that would have been, a real divided highway that just would have steamed right through this part of town?
A six-lane elevated highway.
What were they thinking?
What were they thinking? They were thinking that people had to get around on cars, that cities were emptying out. people were going to the suburbs. They thought, well, people have to have cars.
But the Inner Belt was never built. A good thing for these residents, among them Amy Devine, who lives on Valentine Street in a small house that's being renovated.
If our house could talk, it would tell you that it is old. It was originally located on the grounds of and owned by the C.L. Jones Soap Company, which was right next door. We have found out that the earliest occupants were most likely factory workers. And finally, in 1906, city documents show two families living in the house. William Avery, here in number 26, had a wife and two children. And Joseph, at number 28, had a wife and seven children, which is pretty remarkable.
Living in this house.
Living in this little
town. And we should say it's not a huge house. In fact, it's even a small house, right?
No, it's a very small house. Yeah. And our contractor has made some interesting discoveries that date the house to a much earlier time period than 1890, which is when the first building permit appeared.
What did your contractor discover?
He discovered some framing techniques and different cuts of timber that date the house to a much earlier time period. And actually, just this weekend, they opened up another wall and discovered a board that is dated 1875, and it's either signed or has the imprint of the lumber yard. So we're excited to do a little bit more research and see where that brings us.
We walk on and end up on Upton Street to a row of freshly painted wood-framed houses, one of which is home to Bonita Cox. So tell me the story of your house.
So this house was, all of these houses were built in 1825. Interesting thing about this house is this Sergeant Horatio Julius Homer was the first black policeman in the city of Boston. His family lived here. His son and his two granddaughters lived in this house. But I didn't make that connection until I saw the story in the Boston Globe last year. And I said, oh my God, I know the Homers. They lived in this house when I was a kid.
He was a Renaissance man. He played 10 musical instruments and memorized a poem each day, and given his name, was especially interested in Greek literature. That's amazing. This house has been in Bonita Cox's family since 1914, when her grandfather, who came from Barbados, bought it. One of her neighbors is Alice Turkell, who sits on the Cambridge School Committee. She confesses that for this history project, she didn't do her homework.
Well, it's great. I have to say, I feel not so good because I didn't get my sign up this year.
Not yet.
My house is painted a very bright, bright, bright sunny yellow with red and blue trim, brighter than the other houses around here.
I think it's kind of great.
My sign says, who picked the colors for this house and what were they thinking? I think that's what my sign says.
It does sort of stick out, but I think it's fantastic. The If This House Could Talk project runs through this weekend in Cambridgeport. You can find links to the project where you can read about the history of many of the houses on our website, radioboston.org.
This whole neighborhood, and you'll see signs hanging up all over.
Stay with us, because coming up, the Fribble Friendlies and the future of family dining. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.